Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show as we get things rolling on a gloomy type Tuesday. At least it's not snowing right now. That's the positive there.
Stop your whining. Stop your whining.
I'm not whining. I'm actually looking at the bright side.
You?
Yeah, I know.
Rare.
I know.
Rare. You are the prince of doom and gloom.
I'm a realist.
In other words, the Prince of Doom and Gloom.
I'm a realist.
Every doom and gloom person I've ever run into in my life has the same thing they say over and over again. You know what that is?
I just look at things realistically.
I'm a realist.
I just look at things realistically.
Sure you do. All right. You look at things realistically. I have one word for that. After listening to you now into our fifth year. Really? Really?
Always look on the bright side of life.
Not you. Not you. You are a doom and gloomer.
So have you, did you see the latest Colin Cowherd comments?
No, I know nothing about it.
Oh, it's good stuff.
He's on Fox Sports now. So
yes.
I don't...
Yes.
He's disappeared off the radio earth.
He's disappeared off the television earth, too, really.
Well, he is on Fox Sports 1, I guess, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, let's see. Here is the Kevin Herr topics of the day. Oh, jeez. Why do you put the Ryan Howard thing on here?
Because it's a legitimate question.
They haven't even picked up a bat yet. I'd like to at least see him pick up a bat first.
Does it really matter? Really?
If Ryan Howard has a weak spring, should the Phillies cut him and give the spot to a player who will be with the team in 2017?
I mean, let's face it. It's taken up a roster spot in the National League where you really don't need to, and you could be actually developing somebody.
I don't know. You're gonna have to pay him anyway.
Yes. I'm just saying, why not just pay him the money and let him take the money and run and get somebody, start developing somebody to play the position?
Because they may not have a guy that plays the position. How about that?
Well, that's a very legitimate answer to that question. They may not have anybody.
At this moment.
I'm not sure Darren Ruff is going to be the long-term first baseman situation.
Look, Pete Maccannon, they obviously feel he can hit right-handed pitching. That's why he talked about, hey, look, you don't hit left-handed pitching, I'm not going to hit you against left-handers. So they're not going to cut him loose. See, part of the reason I sigh when you put the Ryan Howard thing up there is the manager addressed it already in Williamsport.
He did. Yeah, he has. He said he would platoon him if he didn't learn to hit lefties.
which means they're not cutting him.
But that's my question. Why then platoon him when you can actually get somebody to play regular and platoon them instead? Why platoon a guy that is not the long-term solution on a team that's looking the long-term now?
I don't know. I would think because you don't have a long-term solution there.
And that's a very good observation.
You're going to have to go with a temporary solution because whomever you feel might be ready to play that spot isn't ready yet. What did Colin Cowherd say about Christian Hackenberg?
I don't have it up right this second, but I want to get it up here in just a couple of seconds.
Okay, so no, that's fine.
Because you have to. I don't want to paraphrase it.
That's fine. Everyone is offer what? Everyone is what?
I don't even know what you're reading right now.
Austin and Charleston want bowl games.
How can you
add more bowl games? That part we'll get to later because that's a really good topic. Everyone is. Can you tell me what this means?
I don't know. I'll have to look to see what I sent you. I don't even know what one you're looking at.
Everyone is offer a what to look for at the combine.
Okay. Everybody's off. I got you now. Now I know where you're looking at. Everybody's offering this. Here's what to look for at the combine. Is there really anything to look for at the combine? I mean, for the average fan, is there really anything to look for at the combine other than, as you said, what did you call it yesterday? The underwear what?
The underwear Olympics.
The underwear Olympics. Yes, that's what it was.
Bill Belichick is right, and the players training for this are right. Bill Belichick says you spend the entire time doing non-football related activities to get ready for the combine. That's why he feels it's a waste of time. Conversely, the players are right because it's their job interview, and the combine is part of the job interview, so guess what? They do all combine-related activities, get ready for the combine. It doesn't make sense for them to do football-related activities because the combine is specific as to what they want. How high do you jump? How far do you do the long jump, broad jump? What's your 40-yard dash? How do you do with the cones? How you do with 225 pounds? How many reps? So I don't look for anything out of the combine. I think the combine, usually a combine would come into play for me in the later rounds. Rounds 5 through 7. Where I might use the combine as a tiebreaker when I'm really trying to decide between a couple of players and somebody to combine better.
Looking at Mr. Irrelevant time.
Well, no, but I'm talking about rounds 5 through 7. You get, how many guys especially in the 5th and 6th rounds make the team? 7th round, maybe not so much, but the 5th and 6th round, they make the team. So you kind of use that as a tiebreaker. In the early rounds, I think you got to go with need. You got to try and make your team better, and I think you got to have some football sense to do it. Now, you may draft an athlete that's a great football player, but at the same time, you have to look around and take a long look, especially at scout tapes and then interview. The interview part's really important, I think. But that's the part we don't see. And I think that you have great athletes playing football, and then you have some other people who are just football players. And there is a difference between an athlete playing football and a football player. Remember, somebody called the show one time, and I'm trying to remember what I was talking about. Maybe it was basketball. It's a big difference between an athlete playing basketball and a basketball player. And somebody called up and laughed and said, "What does that mean?" And then I explained it to him. I said, "Okay, Danny Ainge was a great athlete playing basketball. He was a starting third baseman of the Toronto Blue Jays and a starting point guard for the Celtics. He's a great athlete. Larry Bird was a basketball player. You would never ask him to pick up a bat or a golf club and go compete in something. But if you give him a basketball, his instincts and his build are perfect for the game. I remember when I explained it to him, the guy stopped laughing, and he said, I get it now. I said, good.
Steve, you were talking about 6th and 7th round picks and trying to find somebody to fill that those picks?
I said 5th,
you're talking 5th, 6th. All right.
Fifth and 6th round.
I found a chart for 6th and 7th round picks. The survival rate, all right, for those players to be able to make the team or a team, believe it or not, is around 70%.
Sure it is.
I was really surprised at how high that number was.
Now, some of them end up being on the practice squad, the 7th round guys. Some of them go to the practice squads. But usually when they draft somebody, they're usually drafting somebody they're going to keep. But the 5th and 6th rounds, that'd be about the time I'd start to lean on the combine a little bit. Because now the talent pool's becoming very segmented. You know, what's my need? Am I going for best athlete available? Okay, fine. I'm okay on need, best athlete available. He combined really well. Let's see what he can do in our system. That's where the combine would come into me. I really would not lean too heavily on the combine to take rounds 1 through 4. Let's take, for example, you talk about Colin Coward, which we'll talk about here as soon as you get the full quote up. But take Christian Hackenberg, for example. I can tell you right now, Christian Hackenberg will do a couple things. He'll interview really well. He'll be able to, they'll put up a tape and he'll tell you 52 is the mic, 46 is up, 96 is down. That's him setting protection. I'm going to move the tail back to my right. I see the blitz over here coming here. Pre-snap, Christian's very, very good. Then when it comes time to work out and throw the ball, they're going to love him throwing the ball. Indies, 7-on-7, he's going to do well throwing the ball. Because what's the one element that won't be there that was the problem for him? Pressure. You know, you have to realize how many passes I've seen Christian Hackenberg throw in his career in 7-on-7 and in indies. He throws a beautiful ball. Now what's going to make it tough is for them to make a determination on Christian Hackenberg of what they see on tape with him being pressured versus what they see when they watch him free and clear and throwing the football in a combine. That's the key. Now, I don't know what Colin Cowherd said. We'll find out in a moment. This is dramatic. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Presidents Washington and Lincoln could have never imagined that their day would mean one thing. Huge deals at Sunbury Motors Ford. SMC is celebrating President's Day now through the end of the month with their annual President's Day sales event. Choose from over 400 new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs with savings up to 11 grand. Get from over 50 of the stylish 2016 Ford Fusion and take $3,000 off. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months. And they start as low as $19,765. SMC has 75 of the top-selling 2016 Ford Escape with savings of $2,750. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 6 years. And they're priced from just $20,490. Last year, Sunbury Motors was one of the top-selling F-150 dealers in the entire Harrisburg and Philadelphia region. And they're loaded up with over 100 Ford trucks in stock with savings up to 11 grand. See for yourself why more people are heading to Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving all of Central Pennsylvania since 1915.
When Woodrow Wilson was in the White House.
And always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the right side of life.
Well, those people singing don't talk to you off the air.
That may be true. Actually, that is true.
They don't have the seat I have. Okay. Christian Hackenberg, last year through this a year ago. Give everybody the Colin Cowherd quote, then I'll take everybody through it.
Yeah, this was I believe yesterday on The Herd on Fox Sports Radio and Fox Sports One.
And here's the one thing I can't get past: he had a terrible offensive line. Okay, fine, but you don't know. I mean, how good is the offensive line for North Dakota State or for Cal? I don't know. I'm not a guy that judges offensive lines. Here is something I can never get over. When Michael Vick came out of college, he completed 56% of his throws in college. And that's with Virginia Tech talent. When Jake Locker came out of Washington, he completed 54% of his throws. That's with a head coach, Steve Sarkisian, that's really a quarterback coach. Christian Hackenberg completes about 56% of his throws. Run for your life. He's big, he's strong, he's powerful. He completes 56% of his throws at the college level. That's not good enough. If you can complete that in college, you're not going to work in the NFL. I went this morning and I looked up all the great young quarterback talents, right? Andrew Luck completed 67% of his throws. His last year, last 2 years at Stanford, over 70. Russell Wilson's last year at Wisconsin, 73% completion. Matt Stafford, over 60 his last year. Kirk Cousins, 64. Big Ben, 67. Blake Bortles, 66. Marcus Mariota, 67. Jameis Winston, 66. Aaron Rodgers, 64. Cam, 66. Christian Hackenberg, senior year, 53%.
Okay. I don't think it's unfair, to be honest with you, what he's talking about. And the offensive line part, for example, Christian Wentz, you had to remember that he's working, or Carson Wentz, is working in an offensive line at North Dakota State that probably is one of the better offensive lines in all of FCS. It's a different competition. So, his offensive line gave him time to do things. Goff's offensive line at Cal gave him time to do things. The best offensive line that Christian Hackenberg had was his freshman year. I think everyone here knows that. The depletion had not really been complete here. And that was the 1 year he completed, guess what, 59% of his passes. In 14, he really struggled in 14 with interceptions. Forced the ball in too much, we know that. And he completed 56% of his passes, and he threw 12 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. Now, when you look at him this year, he completed 53% of his passes with 16 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. He cut way back on interceptions, in part because he threw the football away when the play wasn't there. That's actually something he'll have to discuss and talk about when he sits down with them about plays where he threw the football away and ate the down instead of taking a loss. When you get sacked 44 times in a year like he did in 2014, and he got sacked 10 times in the opener, remember the final 11 games of the regular season, he was sacked a total of 29 times. Because he got sacked 10 times in the opener. So he took fewer sacks over the final 11 games of the regular season. He also decided to take fewer chances throwing the football, which meant more incompletions. He also missed some passes, too. You know, you get a couple drops. That's just typical and average. But that's a big reason why the 53% is where it is. Because what he did was he increased his touchdown passes from 12 to 16, and he dropped his interceptions from 15 to 5. And I think that's the big reason why that you see the completion percentage lower, because he wasn't forcing the football, which helped him stay away from interceptions, helped him stay away from turnovers, and over the final 11 games, took fewer sacks.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Christian Hackenberg, the Colin Cowherd comment, I mean, it sounded like he was like, stay away from him, I guess, was basically he was staying because of the stats, right?
Yes.
Now, remember, Christian Hackenberg, a lot of people don't realize this. Do you know how old he is?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I remember you saying that one at a time, but I don't remember the number.
He turned 21.
Okay, 21.
Right? Yeah, but he turned 21 9 days ago he turned 21. So, in other words, he played this past season as a 20-year-old junior. And again, did he miss throws? Yes. Did he have misreads? Yes. Did he make bad decisions at times? Yes. But when you look at what he did in 15, I think 15, in terms of his completion percentage, was a direct product of what happened to him in 14. In 14, he threw 12 touchdown passes and 15 interceptions. Now, keep in mind that of those 12 passes, 15 interceptions, four of them were in the bowl game. This year, he had 16 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions. So what turned that around? I think it was turned around in terms of going from 12 and 15 to 16 and 5 was a product in part. And remember, he got sacked 44 times last year. He got sacked 10 times in the opener. So in the final 11 regular season games, he was sacked 29 times. Obviously, a much lower rate than the year before. So he gets sacked 10 times first game, 29 times the last 11. I think there are times where he threw the ball away, that he got rid of it, that he ate the down, did not take the sack, did not, and then said, look, the heck with this, it's going to be second down and 10 and not second and 17. So he threw the ball away a few times. No, did he have drops? Every quarterback has drops. Did he make bad decisions? Every quarterback makes a bad decision. But I think when you look at his 53% completion percentage, that was, I think, a product in part of him eating some downs, getting rid of the ball, sacrificing his completion percentage to do so, because it was the best thing in terms of down and distance to do. And he did that a lot this year. I mean, Jack and I commented several times. That's why he stayed away from forcing the ball into coverage. That's why he only had 5 interceptions. So the touchdown passes went up by, actually, in the regular season, his touchdown passes in the regular season went up 8. And his interceptions went down 10. That was a product in part of him being a little more careful with the football this year and a little more careful about eating downs and getting rid of the football at times and saying, look, second and 10 is better than second and 17. Not always, but that certainly was a product that somebody who literally saw every pass Christian Hackenberg threw in his career. It's tough when you're sitting, to Colin Cowherd's defense, when it's tough sitting making comments on players. For example, I've seen Wentz play on TV, I don't know, 4 times, including the Senior Bowl. So what I've seen, I like. But I've never seen him in person. So when you're sitting in a studio observing and you're also trying to get information from people that you trust and know, you try to get a read on where players are and you make comments about them. I understand that. At least in this show, these are the comments of somebody who watched him in practice every day for 3 years, which I did, and watched and announced every pass he threw in his career. So I'll have a little different perspective than maybe he will, sitting in Los Angeles, looking at it from afar, just like I would have a different perspective on Cody Kessler of USC, based on some games I watched of him on TV and looking at his stats. It would be the same as me doing that with him. I think that's being fair, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly fair. I mean, but again, that's the incompletion stat is a tough stat to me. Does it show accuracy? A little bit, but it also doesn't show how many of those were drops. Right. How many of those were thrown under pressure?
But here, if I had to say one thing about Christian Hackenberg, right, on accuracy, Christian needs to have a little bit better footwork to make himself a more accurate quarterback and do a better job of leading receivers into yards after the catch. Footwork equals accuracy. So he has to do a better job of it. Remember the play in the Tax Slayer Bowl where he just made an incredible throw over the middle to Chris Godwin? And Godwin, I think, ripped off 39 yards in the play. It was over the middle. It's a third down and 15 play. And he hit Godwin at midfield, and then Godwin took it down, and it was a great pass. And Penn State got a field goal out of that drive. In fact, I think that was the last drive Christian was in on, wasn't it? I think it was the last drive he was in. He kind of gutted it out in the drive and stayed out there. In fact, he had already been driven down to the turf. On that play, he drills it over the middle with an NFL-type arm. And just as important with NFL accuracy, Godwin was in stride and just caught it and kept on going. That's where he needs to show as time goes. I think whomever drafts him is going to get a good NFL quarterback. It's going to take him maybe a little time to develop a couple of things, but I think he's going to be a good NFL player, and I think he's going to have probably a 12-year career, if not longer, in the NFL. I think he's built for it. I think his arm's built for it. I think you put him in the right system in the NFL, I think he's going to be just fine. And protected, he'll do well. Again, he'll combine well because he'll interview extremely well. He's very intelligent. And when he gets out there and in 7-on-7 drills, they'll sit there and go, wow. I mean, you know how many times I sat there in practice and watched him in a 7-on-7 drill or in indies and go, wow. There's nobody out there obsessed with trying to kill you. There's no doubt he was, you know, the protection part was a problem, which Colin Cowherd fairly pointed out. And sometimes if you're not protected well enough, it does lead to some bad footwork. And the one thing you want to make sure is that when that happens, it doesn't become a habit. All right. That's an interesting topic. And it's going to be a prime topic coming up all week. I want to say he goes Thursday or Friday. I think Thursday or Friday's his day.
Does the NFL keep in mind that they're doing this for TV? Do they set some guys aside for a certain time of the day?
No.
I'm just curious. I mean, you know, the NFL has been very media savvy over the years, and they've turned this into a television event. I just wondered if some guys got saved for prime viewing times.
Well, no, he's the quarterback group. I mean, for example, the defensive tackle, defensive end group, I think the defensive tackles go on Sunday or something like that. This is just more organizational.
That's the thing that amazes me about this particular thing. You know, the combine was, I don't ever remember hearing about the combine maybe 10 years ago. And now because of the NFL Network, and again, it all goes back to the fact that they have time to fill in a time where there's no games being played anywhere for any reason, they've made it a television event.
Well, the NFL, that works all things NFL. It's all right. That's fine. That's why you have an MLB network, an NFL network, an NHL network, an NBA network. I mean, that's fine. If you're somebody that is really obsessed with said sport, I mean, my goodness, the Big Ten has its own network. SEC has its own network. I mean, it's a time of specialized networks, which locks in on what you like. For example, NBC Universal wants to show as many Olympic sports as possible. Well, for somebody like you, that's great. You want to watch alpine skiing. You want to watch curling. You want to, you know, you like that stuff.
Curling Night in America.
But I'm saying, though, but they do a lot of that on NBC Universal now. They're trying to turn that into an Olympic network, which, of course, sets up their coverage for everything. But that's what they're trying to do. And somebody like you would love that, right?
No, no question. I have watched that many times. Watched out downhill a couple of weeks ago.
So you don't have to watch the Underwear Olympics if you don't want. There'll be some people that will peek in. They'll say, hey, look, hey, what kind of 40-yard dash did X run? Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying that this is a... That this is a bad thing. I'm just saying I think the NFL has, again, done a great job with making it an event.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of reporters there covering it, that's for sure. Okay. I did go to the morning workout today. I'll come back, tell you what I saw in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back. Brought to you today by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Early morning workouts. Let's take you inside what happened today. I went to Huluba Hall this morning and watched them work out. And it was really good to watch it. Really good. Got a lot out of it today. A lot out of it. The first thing you notice right away is more offensive linemen, more of them. Connor McGovern and Alex Gellerstad are right in there. And you've got Ryan Bates. Bates looks really good. I mean, Bates looks strong, quick. Same thing with Steven Gonzalez. Sterling Jenkins to add in with Derek Dowry, Brian Gaia, Andrew Nelson, Wendy Laurent, and Paris Palmer. So now you have more linemen in the mix right off the top. And there's going to be some competition there. There really has not been a lot of competition there. Chance Sorrell, another guy. There hasn't been a lot of competition in that offensive line now for 4 years. There really hasn't. You're going to see some legitimate competition this time in the offensive line, which then is going to create a potential two-deep situation there, which Penn State has not had. That's one that just jumped out right away as a plus. I was watching the corners work, and Grant Haley, John Reed, Amani Oruwariye, Garrett Taylor, sleek. Especially Reed and Haley, they look quick this morning. Really quick. Safety spot, a lot of guys at safety. Nick Scott's over there at safety now, I think, which a lot of people already knew about. And Malik Golden. Malik Golden looked really good this morning. Marcus Allen, Troy Apke. So you got something, you know, some depth there. Defensive tackle, obviously, is an area, and linebacker would be the first two areas to say, okay, not quite to the depth you need yet. But guys like Antoine White and Cothran and Robert Windsor and so forth, that tackle spot. And then, of course, the linebacking spot, you got Kabinda. Naeem Wortman was out there today, but Naeem Wortman is not going to do anything in the spring. I can tell you that right now. Naeem Wortman was out there with the group this morning. But not doing, you know, observing what was going on and then doing his usual rehab work.
But he should be, Wortman should be back. I wouldn't be surprised he gets a full go in June at some point.
Steve, real quick, I want to sneak Bob in. Had a couple of quick questions on the combine for you before we go to the news.
Okay, go ahead, Bob. Great to have you with us.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? I really appreciate you guys' show. It's very, very informative. I do appreciate it a lot. Well, first question I have, though, is the combine just basically a job interview for the NFL? Is that the basis of it?
Absolutely, Bob. That is exactly what it is. It's a chance for them to get the top guys together and interview each one of them. They all go through interviews. And then just to find out, you know, the pure athleticism on top of the tape that they see. But it's all really an NFL job interview.
Okay, another question for you. You talked about Christian Hackenberg's footwork. What in particular would you consider being relevant to his footwork? I mean, I'm not a quarterback. I've never played football. So as a layman here, I'm not understanding exactly what you mean by his footwork. You can explain that.
That's a really good question, Bob. You want to step into your throws, and you want to step into where the target is. It's like a baseball pitcher striding to the plate. If you have good footwork in the pocket, for example, you work really essentially in that 3 to 5 foot circle, and as the pocket collapses around you, and then you're able to, with your footwork, set yourself toward the target you want to throw to. If you're off balance at all, off balance leads to the footwork issue, you're not going to be as accurate with the football.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, basically like any other type of sport or throwing or anything like that. I didn't know if it was something specific to the football that made a difference or, you know.
No, that's a great question. I hope I explained it well enough.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, thank you guys so much. You and Kevin are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, Bob. We always appreciate the call.
See, my problem was not only footwork, Steve. It was arm strength, momentum, ability. I had a multitude of problems.
When I have been interviewed by people about, when did I think about getting into broadcasting, it says when I figured out very early in life I couldn't play.
When did you think about getting into broadcasting football games instead of playing them? Pretty much when the coach said to me, yeah, see the water cooler over there? Stay there. I'll call you when I'm ready for you.
I played in high school, and I started in high school, but I also knew that high school was the last time I was ever going to play.
I unfortunately played behind two all-league and all-district players. I had no chance.
But, I mean, footwork comes into play in a lot of ways. Throwing the football is one. But in other words, like, you look at an offensive tackle, what their footwork is to go with their arm extension. I thought the tight end group looked really good today. Nick Bowers, Gesicki, Brent Wilkerson looked really good today. Quarterbacks, I mean, really looked quick and in shape. Same thing with the running backs. Barkley, Allen, Robinson looked quick and in shape and had some real jump to them. They're going to be a little thin at linebacker, a little thin at defensive tackle, but now they've got numbers across the board. They certainly have a plethora of wide receivers. They've got three or four guys, because Jonathan Hyland gets in that group too, of four tight ends, maybe even five. You got plenty of running back, especially with Miles Sanders coming into the mix. You know, obviously quarterback will be the big question going into the spring. Everybody knows that. They've got plenty of defensive ends. That's not an issue between Schwann and Sickles and Cothran, and they're going to be okay there. Buchholz. But numbers at linebacker. First group is really good, and I think you've got actually a really good second group at linebacker. And then, so linebacker and defensive tackle would be the two thin areas that I saw. But, boy, they look in shape and they look quick today.